Thanks, Bruce. Good morning, church. Today's passage is taken from Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Here ends the reading, and over to Reverend Joseph Cho to deliver the message.
Hi there, I'm Reverend Joseph Cho, but if you ever bump into me in real life, you can just call me Joe. I'm a minister here at Chinese and Australian Baptist Church, West Ryde. I've been serving for 7 years and I'm actually on my sabbatical leave at the moment. But Reverend Ying Yi, he's called me out of my rest and my learning and reflection to preach here at CCC Milsons Point, and it's an honor and it's a pleasure to do so. It's particularly cool because you're in a new series on the Apostles' Creed. If you're like me, when it comes time for listening to a sermon, you probably enjoy sinking your teeth and chewing on a particular set text from the Bible. But this week and this series will be a little bit different. We'll be going into God's Word still, but we'll be taking a little bit more of a topical or a systematic approach. The Apostles' Creed is particularly helpful. While it's not inspired words from God, it's helpful because it's a summary of the Christian faith. And as we consider our ministry to baptize people in the name of Jesus and to teach everything he's commanded us, it sort of neatly brings together the core truths of God and of the Christian faith. So I'm excited to go into it with you today. And so before we begin, let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Our Father Almighty, would you guide us as we seek to know you? Help us to see you in your great power and in your tender warmth. Remind us of the peace that can be found in the knowledge of you. Break down any misunderstandings that we might have as we look into your word. And would you help us to live lives that reflect the worthy honor and reverence to your name? Would you do this all by revealing yourself to us through your Son Jesus and by the power of your Spirit as he convicts us and as he illuminates your word? Amen. Around 9 years ago, I was a Bible college student, and I was a college student sitting inside of Kurong, the Christian bookstore, and I was working on an assignment. I had my headphones in, and I was stuck into a book, when this old lady, she signaled me, and she tried to get my attention. She wanted to speak to me. And so I unplugged my earphones, and she introduced herself, and I introduced myself. And then her opening question to me was, "Have you heard of Mother God?" So I squinted my eyes and I said, this is going to be interesting. She went on to pick a few choice verses, trying to convince me that God is actually a mother, and there was this whole weird religious cult doctrine that she was trying to teach me. It was clearly weird and clearly wrong, because I know that God is our Father. He is our Creator. As the first sentence of the Apostles' Creed states, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. We live in a world that doesn't believe in God. If you take a poll at your workplace or at school or at uni, chances are that half the people won't believe there is a God. And for those who do say they kind of believe in God, they'll have an incorrect or an incomplete understanding of who God is, because their faith has been shaped by tradition or by popular culture or definitely something other than what the Bible says. As Christians, we have to have a clear understanding of God. And when we do, it's so good for us, because it helps us to stand firm when we're challenged by funky or by false doctrine about God. When we have a clear understanding of God, we'll be drawn to love and appreciate Him even more, and it will also strengthen our faith as we face ups and downs in this world. And so today we'll be going to look at two aspects of God from the opening sentence of the Creed, which is, we'll be looking at the Father Almighty and the Creator, and Him as the Creator of heaven and earth. And at the very end, we'll take time to reflect on what that means for us. And so here's our first section. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. God, He's more than a concept of a supernatural being. The God that we believe in, He's a real person. He's our Father. In the opening of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he writes an amazing poem of praise to the Father. He praises God our Father for what He's done through His Son Jesus. He has blessed us by adopting us into His family through the blood of Jesus, which was shed to forgive our sins. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6 together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Jesus, God executes His amazing plan to redeem all of humanity and to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. Through Jesus, He adopts us and He saves us from sin and from the death that we are due for. The Father, He's wise, He's powerful, and He's loving. And He shows this most amazingly through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus. This is why He's our Father. You know, for better or for worse, we've formed ideas of what a father is from our experiences in this world. Some of us had loving fathers, but sadly, some of us also experienced perhaps absent fathers or even abusive fathers. I'm a child of divorced parents, and so I know my dad loves me, and I love him too, but we've slowly drifted apart since the years when I stayed with mom and dad moved out. And so it's complicated when the scriptures tell me that God is my father. But rather than calling upon my own ideas and experiences of what a father is, I should look to, and we should look to, how God reveals Himself to us as a father from the Bible. There are several snapshots of God, our Father. Hosea, the prophet Hosea speaks of God as a father carrying Israel as a child. Well, the psalmist speaks of God as a father of the fatherless. And a personal favorite of mine is the parable of the prodigal son, where God shows his unconditional love through the forgiving father that awaits the return of his rebellious son, who asked for his inheritance and squandered it all in foolish living. In 2003, there was a very popular movie titled Bruce Almighty, which starred Jim Carrey as a guy who complains at God because God doesn't seem to be doing what he thinks God should be doing. And so what happens is he's given God's powers to teach him how difficult it would be to run the world. While the movie doesn't get most facts about God right, something it captures really well is how infinitely difficult it would be to be Almighty God, to have the wisdom to answer prayers in the right time, or whether to not even answer certain ones at all. To give free will to people, yet also bring people in line with his purposes. It would take amazing amount of restraint to be able to love and show grace to sinful people. And to be everywhere at all times to make sure that the world is running well. Bruce Almighty, he tries so hard, but he fails. He sucks at being God, and he realizes he can't do it, and it points to how God, he truly is almighty. He gets everything right. He's perfectly merciful, powerful, wise, and always in control of things. The term almighty in the Apostles' Creed, it's used to describe all the facets of God's brilliance and his supremacy. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. John here is stating how the one who is the beginning and the end of all things, he is just transcendent. He is above all things. This term Almighty, it captures all of God's attributes in all its fullness. It captures that he has complete and total control over all things. He's omnipotent. He knows all things, and he has intelligent purpose. He's omniscient. He is everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. He exists independently of other beings and or other causes, which is self-existent. He is unchanging over time. He is immutable. You know, people usually have strengths and weaknesses, particularly in sports. Some people are fast, some people are slow, some people are big, some people are small, some people are powerful, some people are agile. Rarely does someone possess all of the top, or all of the key attributes, every single one of them. Rarely is someone the total package, right? As you can see, there are strengths and weaknesses that people portray on or think about with Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. Well, God the Father, he is the total package. That's why he is the Almighty. God is wonderfully compassionate and loving, and at the same time, awesome in power and majesty. And when we come to terms with who God is, it should lead us to fall on our knees in reverence and in worship, because he's deserving of all glory and honor. It's why we sing to him. It's why we speak of his praises. That's why every action we make, it's done for his glory. As we move on to the second section, I'll read the second part of our sentence in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We definitely live in a time where people believe that the universe came together by accident, without design or without a designer. I went to school here in Australia, and I know anyone else probably who studied school here, we were taught the Big Bang Theory, that there's no transcendent meaning behind this world. It just all just happened, just out of atoms and molecules coming together. But if the world came together in this way, it would mean that there's no meaning for you and I, and we don't really have a purpose in this world either. It's all by accident, right? You know, just like Batman has an origin story of how he became a superhero, his parents were murdered and he was emotionally damaged, yet he wanted to fight the evil that hurt him, yet he's plagued by that evil as well. Well, the world also has an origin story as well. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The world begins with God who creates the universe. The world didn't come together by chance. He has built it with a plan and with a purpose. God, he reveals himself in this way as the creator to Job. If you want to read together with me in Job chapter 38. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is that? Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy." This is God kind of flexing, showing how mighty he is as a creator, right? And so Job responds to God in a fitting way. Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, I will say no more." Job, he believed and he saw clearly that God is the Father Almighty and the creator of heaven and earth. And like too, we too should believe and see that God is the creator of heaven and earth. And we too should also be humbled in the presence of such a God that created the stars that shine bright at night, that created the creatures on land and in the sea, the trees in the park that give us shade. From the tiniest bacteria to the galaxies in space, the universe in all of its complexity and in all of its glory and beauty, it's been made by him and for him. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands." You know, continuing on with this theme of origin stories, God created the world with man and woman as the pinnacle of his creation. But unfortunately, creation failed to do what God had intended. Adam and Eve, who were representative of all mankind, ate the forbidden fruit in the garden. And that led to the fall. All of us who were born after followed in that same fallen pattern of sin, which leads to death. But in his great love, our Almighty Father has sent his Son Jesus to redeem us and to restore this world. Jesus saves sinners like us by taking the punishment of death that we deserve by dying on the cross in our place. And through faith in him, we can have a part in this restored world when Jesus returns in glory to usher in this renewed heaven and earth. And we too can also be adopted into the family of God, where we can call him Abba Father. As we close and as we end in some reflection, I'd like to ask just one question to you today. What does it mean to you that God is Father Almighty and creator of the heavens and earth? If you're not a Christian, I hope that you have a much clearer understanding of the Christian God, that he's both powerful and loving as a father, and that he sits above all creation, which he cares about deeply, so much that he sent his Son Jesus to rescue you from this broken world. I hope that you take his invitation to be part of his family through putting your trust in Jesus. if you're a Christian, I hope it causes us to fall on our knees in worship. We can say to God with reverence and confidence that our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that as a Christian that you would thank God and that it would draw you to love him and to appreciate that he sent his son Jesus even more. That we undeserving sinners have been purchased by Christ's blood and brought into a right relationship, brought into a family relationship with the Father. I hope also for if you're a Christian that it reassures you once again that God is in control. Not a thing in this world happens that he is not sovereign over. No matter how bad this pandemic gets, regardless of what might happen to our jobs or our financial situation, whatever challenges that we may face physically, emotionally, spiritually, God is sovereign over all of his creation, and we can rest in that truth. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for those works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And so friends, let us be filled with awe and love for our Father and find comfort in him. May we live our lives daily for his glory. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your holy word, which is a lamp unto our feet. You've shown us who you are in the scriptures through Jesus Christ. And we pray that this church can confidently say together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." May this church find great joy and comfort in who you are and confidently live for your glory and for your glory alone. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.